This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And John Hodgman is with us. John Hodgman, welcome.
Hello.
Hello there. Great to have you.
Great. Thank you for letting me lay down some bass on your interstitial music there.
Well, you did that very well.
Yeah, well.
With a virtual bass, I must say.
Yeah. Well, it's a bass ukulele I carry with me.
John Hodgman is here to talk about his third compendium of complete world knowledge. And it comes not a moment too soon because, as John Hodgman tells us, civilization is coming to an end. World governments will collapse. Currencies will be replaced by beef jerky. And all this by the end of next year. And John, how do we know this?
Well, look, I'm not the only one who's saying this.
Right.
The ancient Mayans are saying this with their Mayan long count calendar.
You rely heavily on that Mayan calendar.
Well, yeah. Well, they stopped making calendars. That's how sure they were that the world was going to come to some big change at the end of 2012.
Now, do you actually have one of these calendars? Because they're big chunks of stone, I understand.
I have four of them.
I see.
but you understand, I'm a deranged millionaire.
And we're going to get to that. So you can read all about this in John Hodgman's new book, which is called That Is All. And it is a third compendium of complete world knowledge. John Hodgman, of course, is a regular on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, where he says he appears once a month to solve Jon Stewart's problems. He also played the boring PC in the Apple computer ads. And in his new book, he describes himself, as you said, a deranged millionaire. John, you also grew up in Brookline. You lived in Western Massachusetts. But I have to ask you, you know, reading about this pending global superpocalypse, also known as Ragnarok, is really troubling.
Ragnarok.
Sorry, I wrote that wrong.
No one knows what Ragnarok is.
Well, this is... I don't know what Ragnarok is.
Maybe that's your own vision of the coming doom.
So who is, what is Ragnarok?
In ancient Norse myth, Ragnarok was described the final battle between the gods that would leave the earth a barren wasteland. But I'm talking more about the combination of elements that will lead to the end of civilization and the end of human history, as the Mayans predicted.
Right. Leaving
only John Cusack alive.
Only John Cusack.
Well, that was in that movie, that documentary about 2012.
That's great. Well, the book is a great collection of invented knowledge. I hope it's okay if I say
no,
that.
No, it is. I mean, my first two books were books of trivia, but they were made more interesting because the trivia was made up by me. So instead of the nine U.S. presidents who smoked cigars, I would do the nine U.S. presidents who had hooks for hands. And as I started contemplating what to write about in the last of the compendium, the tripendium, as it were, I started thinking more and more about all these awful predictions that are coming for 2012, which, you know, reflect anxiety we have about the tenuousness of our civilization as it stands.
Yeah. Well, there's some real reasons for that, isn't there?
Of course. I mean, you look at the European economies. You look at our economy.
Right.
You know, you look at the clashes that are going down on Wall Street, the drum circles, and the evictions that are going on. Community, the TV show on NBC, has just been put on hiatus. Who knows what else is going to happen next?
Well, speaking of what's going to happen next, this book is laid out in an interesting way. At the top of every page, you have predictions about what's going to be happening in 2012. And I'll just read a couple of examples.
Okay.
April 30th, 2012, electricity reverses its flow.
Yep, that's going to happen.
That's going to be a problem.
You should unplug your computers that day.
Okay. Yeah. May 2nd, 2012, firefighters in Washington, D.C. discover that mystical green flames cannot be doused by earthly water.
Yeah, well, that's part of a running narrative in my page-a-day calendar in which it is revealed that the Washington Monument was built long ago as a Masonic escape craft so that the Freemasons could leave the earth and if anything looked too bad on earth, and it accidentally launches and sets Washington, D.C. on fire.
I see. And mystical green flames engulf Maryland May 4th, 2012.
Yeah, the mystical green flames proved to be unquenchable and a big problem.
This was
before the Washington Monument was cracked in that earthquake that should not have happened over here.
Yeah.
Another worrying portent.
Right. Well, yeah. I was wondering about that.
I had nothing to do with it. I was in Western Massachusetts at the time.
But you clearly know what you're talking about. September 27th, 2012, the sky over Montana finally collapses, crushing all below it.
Yeah, there's no way that thing can stay up forever. It's big sky country. That's very. I don't see any visible supports for that sky at all.
Big sky and not a lot of people. So as tragedy
oh,
goes.
I see. Well, this is the Massachusetts way, isn't it? Others are expendable. We here at the hub of the universe.
So
as long as it doesn't come for us. Well, I'm sorry to say, sir, you will fall prey to the Omega Pulse and the blood wave just like everyone else.
Really? Even in Massachusetts, the Omega Pulse is going to get us?
Well, here's the thing. In a sense, Ragnarok is a metaphor. If you think about it, the end of the world is a little like death. It's the little apocalypse that waits for all of us. It is the great equalizer.
Right.
That is until Ray Kurzweil or some other billionaire inventor figures out how to extend life forever.
And he's working on that, I understand.
Oh, he
is. At least for himself.
He's working on it for all of us. I mean, Ray Kurzweil sincerely believes that we will enjoy something called a singularity soon.
Yeah. No, he's been right in that chair you're sitting in, and he's told us about this.
Well, that explains all the leftover computer keyboards and robot parts.
John Hodgman, I want to just invite our listeners into this conversation. Listeners, you can give us a call. What questions do you have about... Well, I mean, anything at all. I mean, here's your chance to connect with the author of That Is All, A Compendium of Complete World Knowledge. And it's not every day you can talk to an expert in just about everything, including the coming super apocalypse. So give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and connect with John Hodgman.
I just should clarify, my book is not all about the end of the world.
Right.
I mean, it's also fun stuff like wine and sports.
Well, I wanted to say, it's a great collection of knowledge and trivia, as you said, stuff about wine, stuff about helpful foreign phrases besides let's have a liquor party.
Yes.
I love that section.
What is it that passes itself?
That
something I say every day.
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of a send up of those funny phrase books that when you translate them sound like that.
Yes, exactly. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think and also I do finally engaged with the great bane of my life,
which is
sports.
Sports. Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Brookline, Massachusetts, a Doctor Who fan, a weirdo, a fedora wearing, D&D playing teen. And, you know, if you do not like sports in Massachusetts, you are less than normal.
Yeah, how did you do that? I noticed in the book you referred to the Red Sox.
I mean,
as
even
the...
Doris Kearns Goodwin is walking around with a Red Sox hat on. You know what I mean? Even the nerds like sports here.
I like the way you refer to the Red Sox as the baseball Red Sox, though.
That's the sport they play. I just wanted to be clear for people who maybe didn't know about them.
I want to play a clip from a recent piece you did on The Daily Show, which makes a reference to Occupy Wall Street and your background here in Brookline, including your years at Yale.
Yes.
And you appear with the Yale University a cappella group, the Whiffin' Poofs.
Yes.
So let's just listen to this for a minute.
Who are they?
Why, they're the famous Yale Whiffin' Poofs.
Why are they with you?
Consider them the rich man's human microphone. John Hodgman came from nothing to become one of the richest, most powerful men on television.
He came from nothing.
You went to Yale.
Yes, I did, but I got in despite the fact that only one of my parents had previously attended Yale.
Not a double legacy.
The sad fact is my father went to Boston College.
They're not going to sing the...
Oh, no, 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 no. They refuse to sing those words, John. That's a Jesuit school. Anyway, against all odds, John Hodgman sits before you, a self-made millionaire television star.
He did those computer ads.
Well, that's... They helped. They helped a little bit. They a little bit.
Whatever happened to those?
Oh, that's enough, human microphone.
That's so funny. Of course, the computer ads. You were Mr. PC in the Apple computer
ads. You can just call me PC. There's no need for formality.
Do people still come up to you in the streets and say, hey, can you print this out for me?
And, sure. Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. Correct the red eye in the photograph. I'm very good at it, too.
Still, right.
If you give me a photograph and your eyes are red in it, I can fix it for you. But here's a trick. I don't fix the red eyes. in the photograph, I fix what's wrong with your soul.
I see.
That makes your photos come out that way.
So it goes much deeper than just the actual...
It does.
The sort of stuff on the paper.
Indeed.
I get it. Look, we've got a couple of calls already. There's a lot I want to ask you, but let's get some callers in here. Listeners, you can talk to John Hodgman at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Elias is calling from Jamaica Plain. Hi, Elias. You're
on
the
air.
Very well.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How
are
you?
I'd like to hear more of what you have to say about the singularity and Kurzweil.
Oh, the singularity. Well, you know, this is the idea that within a certain period of time, we're going to be able to replicate, or artificial intelligence will be able to replicate a human brain and then quickly go beyond it and then either solve all of our problems, including our chief problem, which is mortality, and make Ray Kurzweil into a thumb drive that will travel the universe unburdened by his body, or else they will become super intelligent machines that want to kill us. And I think it's sort of a flip of the coin, but it's kind of unavoidable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very compelling idea, and when you hear Kurzweil talk about it, you feel it exists in this quantum state because his data feels very compelling, and he's certainly a very intelligent guy. But at the same time, he's taking hundreds and hundreds of vitamins a day in order to live to this thing. So it does take on a sort of theological bent.
Yeah, he says he's actually reprogramming his metabolism with vitamins and all kinds of stuff to sort of become another kind of being.
I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, but I just don't. I can't take that many vitamins a day.
All right, Elias, thanks so much. Let's go to Diane, who's calling from Methuen. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, well, I have a question for your guest.
Hello.
I had these theories, that we exist in multiple universes, and I want to know, if I exist in another universe, can I have a different body? Can I be skinnier?
Yes.
Like, you know?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. There many scientists subscribe to the theory of many worlds. This is a newsletter. Called The Theory of Many Worlds that you can order that talks about how every possible universe exists. Anything that you could possibly imagine there is in the universe space to accommodate it, or in the dimensional multiverse space to accommodate it. So yes, there is a universe in which you have the body you most desire, and then there is a universe in which you are, unfortunately, you're in Ray Kurzweil's body, because I just thought of it. Every possibility exists.
That'll be for the next book. Oh, no, there won't be another next book, right? That is all it.
Well, unless Ragnarok gets deferred.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'll look pretty dumb then.
No, I noticed that at the very end in your goodbye, you begin the chapter, I know what you're asking. What if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you are wrong?
Yeah.
What if I'm wrong?
No, I'm pretty sure it meant what. Yeah, you meant what if you're wrong?
Yeah, it's possible that... It's possible that the world will not suffer the dog storm and the blood wave and the omega pulse and electricity reversing its throw and the rise of the 700 ancient and unspeakable gods precisely as I lay it out.
Yeah.
But I think we are looking forward to a year full of strange changes and obviously a presidential election. I hope as much as anybody that the world does not end on December 21st, 2012, because I'd like to get another Christmas in for sure.
Yeah, and then you could do another book. You could say, well, the next book could be called that. Well, it turns out that wasn't all.
I don't think I could ever apologize for this book.
800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I want to ask you about, there's a section in this book that I found really enlightening called The Rich Are Different from You and Me, and it's all about social Darwinism.
Yeah, it's a highly maligned concept. You know.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, it's fallen out of favor, this idea that the survival of the fittest applies to people gaining wealth, and that if you have wealth, it proves that you are fit. But the reality is that most of the major robber barons were genetically superior.
Really?
Yeah, they had superpowers. They represented an advance in human evolution called Homo baronensis. So, for example, you know, not a lot of people knew that that J.P. Morgan had the power to levitate.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
No. That's amazing.
And, of course, Andrew Carnegie could create wormholes.
Did he really?
He could teleport through wormholes. They called them halls.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so when he'd say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? He would say, practice, 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 because he didn't want to admit that he, in fact, teleported there through a wormhole.
It's funny that...
A gilded wormhole.
That the kind of facts that just fill out this book, they haven't widely circulated for
No, that's because I made them up.
I see. Okay, good. All right.
Well, but I try to make up facts that almost make you feel like, oh, maybe that's true. You know, why didn't John D. Rockefeller shave off that weird mustache? Did he have a cat's mouth?
Yeah, and there is a thing. Speaking of mustaches, this is one of your hobbies as a deranged millionaire.
Is it a hobby or is it a curse? I don't know.
As a deranged millionaire, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you have rules about the mustache, right? What you can do and what you shouldn't do with it, as I recall.
Yeah, you should only stroke with the grain.
I see.
As you would stroke a cat.
Yeah.
You don't strike against the grain or your mustache will get angry.
I see.
And you can lick your mustache after drinking milk like a cat as well.
Okay.
Twirling is fine. It's tying people to train tracks that's the problem.
I see. Yeah. With the mustache.
You can twirl your mustache. It is not itself villainous as long as you are not tying damsels in distress to train tracks.
All right. Well, I think we've got time for at least one or two more calls. Kelly is calling from Marlboro. Hi, Kelly.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hello, Mr. Hodgman.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Kelly?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking.
This is great. This is going great so far.
I had heard a story a number of years ago that was credited to you, and I'm not sure if, first off, if it was true, and second off, if you might have included it in one of your stories in the book. It had to do with you being after hours in a London zoo and being caught with nothing but an onion in your pocket.
Yes, that's true. I was detained.
You were detained, what, by
London authorities? I was detained
in
my youth.
Yeah,
by zoo personnel. Uh-huh. Because I and some other Americans snuck into the zoo after hours, which they're very trusting people. Their entire security system was a fence about the height of my waist. And we snuck into the zoo after hours, and I got caught. And when they caught me, this was a very rare, naughty moment in my life. And I was so embarrassed that I gave a fake name. And I gave the name of Steve Revo, someone I went to Brookline High School with. And I don't know why I gave his name, but they only referred to me as Mr. Riva from then on, even though they knew I was lying.
Kelly, thanks for that call.
And it is recounted in this book.
Oh, well, that's good to know. John Hodgman, you grew up, as it turns out, not far from the studios right here where we are near the Boston-Brookline border. What was your life like?
I grew up in a tent outside the studio.
You did.
In the 80s, yeah. Occupy B-U-R, I call it.
Occupy B-U-R, yeah.
Yeah, I would just hang out there and just try to watch Click and Clack walking in. I was a big public radio fan.
Because of you, they now have bodyguards.
What's right? that? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, believe me. I really shouldn't be in the studio at all because of the restraining order.
Well, what were your growing up years like in Brookline?
They were idyllic. It's a wonderful place to grow up, and it was a place that could even barely accept a non-sports fan like myself, which I don't think you'd find in many other... Like, I live part-time out in Western Massachusetts now, and even out there, like... My artisanal baker friends and the weird hippies who own the cafe and whatever, they're all shutting down to go watch a Patriots game. I don't understand this, but it's true. In Massachusetts, everyone loves the sporting games.
It's true. It's a big sports state. Let me ask, we have time for just to bring this up. Back in 2008, you wrote a great article. It was part of a compendium of a state-by-state, a panoramic portrait of America, and you wrote the article about Massachusetts, which you described as a bulwark against the kingdom of the Antichrist, a brief guide to the most important state in the Union.
We had 50 in that anthology. We had 50 writers writing about 50 states, and I think we got a robot to write about the District of Columbia or something. Like, we got a computer program to just churn something out.
But I want to read one line. You said, "And so all of New England was built on the long-lasting foundation of an absolute inability to be near anyone who disagreed with you."
Well, that's true, because Massachusetts was founded by religious pilgrims, the Puritans, who couldn't stand England anymore. And then when Roger Williams suggested that we actually compensate the Indians for the land we take them, they said, no, thank you. And he went off to just found Rhode Island. You could do that then. You could just found another state just like that.
If things weren't working out in one state, just go off and find found your own state.
Yeah, the long winters here. Yankee ingenuity was built of long winters of people sitting in their homes and just sort of making baskets and little bits of tool work and not ever talking to one another.
Well, John Hodgman, I wish we had more time, but our time is running out. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And thank you for the book. That's John Hodgman. He's a regular on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He's also author of That Is All. When we stay with us, coming up, a new human clinical trial of gene therapy for Tay-Sachs may hold people for those affected by the incurable disease. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.